All right. Well, last time we got together, we was in part 38, and I'm going to highlight just a few things because I want to get into tonight's teaching and really dig in deep on this thing. So some of the bullet points we said was a true faith is lived, not just talked about it. So many people just talk about faith, but you have to live it, and we're going to get into that and unpack that deeper tonight. Faith is a work or a progress or a process of perfecting the doer. So my faith is perfecting me. And the work that I do in faith and what faith does inside of us, it's producing and perfecting what God wants to happen in our lives. A lot of people just teach and they really believe that you just make a confession of faith that Jesus is Lord and then you never are developed in life. And that's not true. You need to continuously be developed. No matter what career you've ever chosen in life or ever will choose, you just don't get hired on that job and just stay stale there. I guess you could if you want to be on assembly line your whole life and never learn another aspect to the business. But if you wanted to learn more, you got to go to school. You have to be edumacated. Amen. You have to be educated. And so faith does that. And faith is more than a system of belief. It is a lifestyle. Faith is a lifestyle. And we're going to get into that. So we were in Hebrews 12, 4 through 17, and I was reading to you out of the Message Bible. How many of y'all appreciated the Message Bible? It really gives a deeper understanding, gives a deeper revelation, I think, on certain words. It's kind of like the writers of these particular translations did all the work for you. I appreciate that on one hand. On the other hand, I like to go in and dig myself. But just to make it a little easier. And so we're not going to go over all those particular scriptures because there was a whole lot there in that, if that's okay. But we basically surmised last time teaching that God is out to train us. He's out to train us. Again, we don't specifically care to hear that too much because training means responsibility. You're responsible to being trained. You know, you can't train a chair. And try that again. You can't train a chair and you can't train a rock. You can't train a wall. It's there. It's unmovable. It's stable. It's static. It's just there. So God wants to train us. So if we're rebellious and we're stubborn, he can't train us. All he can do is correct and keep pushing and putting pressure on us until we finally say, I give up. I want to be everything you want me to be. And that's the problem we make in Christianity is we sing songs, I want to be more like you. Come on, everybody starts waving, Jesus. Nobody means it. They don't really mean it. Because if you really want to be like Jesus, you got to do what Jesus did. You got to be trained. He learned obedience how? Through the cross. Y'all ain't up. Y'all kind of little sunburned today, I think. But you'll thaw out. We'll get this going here. And so that was the main theme of really the part 38 is that God is training us, and he's training us through discipleship or to be disciplined. Again, that's a very foreign word to churches today because most of our pastors don't want to disciple people. Most of our church leaders don't want to disciple people. They want you to give. They want you to show up, see the show. Come on, get some autographs and let him be whisked out of there to go do something on TV or whatever. And instead of discipling, again, Dr. Lester Sumrall would always say, you have to smell like sheep if you're going to be a shepherd. Well, if I'm going to be a disciple, I need to smell like my teacher. I need to be like my mentor. I need to hang around him. And who's our mentor? It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God the Father. Okay? So we have to do that. You say, what's that got to do with faith? It's got everything to do with faith. How are you going to learn faith if you don't hang out with the author and the finisher of your faith? I mean, it's to me, it's pretty simple. But people make it very complex, and it doesn't have to be. So then we moved into James chapter 2. James chapter 2, we went into boot camp, faith boot camp. How many of y'all remember that? So let's go to verse 1 here, and then I'm going to get into tonight. Let me just highlight a few things, if we can do that real quick. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. So if you're going to have faith, you know, you honor people. You do the right thing. And this is all going to make sense even more in tonight's teaching. Next verse. For there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring, and goodly apparel, and there come in also poor men and vile raiment. And you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit there under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? So you read this in the beginning of James, you think, what does this have to do with faith? What does this have to do with faith? Well, one of the things I want you to write down that I didn't give you last time, because there's always something new that comes out when I do, go back over things, is the expressions of faith. Write that down. The expressions or the impressions of faith. The expressions or the impressions of faith. Okay? What does that mean? I'm going to unpack it in just a minute. All right? So, next verse. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and the heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Absolutely has. But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Yeah, they do. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? So you're having respect to these people who disrespect you because you think, why? You're going to get something out of them. Right? People do that all the time. They buddy up the people who have money or power or the ability to promote. It happens all the time. I've been around denominational circles, and it's almost makes your belly ache when you watch some of these pastors get next to the bishop. Come on, somebody, or bishops or whatever, and they want to hold his robe or what have you, kiss his ring or medallion or whatever. And it's just, you're like, really, bro? That's not how you get promoted. You get promoted in an organization that way. That's not how you get promoted in the kingdom. And so we have a misunderstanding of that. So if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, so what am I fulfilling? The royal law, the kingly law. Not the law of man and the law of humanity, which says what? Knock the guy down next to you and take his promotion, right? Or slander him, stab him in the back. No, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do what? Well. So it's a good thing to follow the royal law, don't you think? It's tied into your faith. But if you have respect to persons, you commit what? Is that what that says? You commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors, because now you broke that royal law by having what? Respect of persons. You chose somebody of a higher state or an elite state of life, and you overlooked the ones that needed the most help. Why? And what does that mean? It goes back to verse 1. The faith of Jesus Christ was what? To come to the poor. He came to the ones that needed what? A physician. They were sick. He didn't go to the synagogues at first. He went to the people. And then, of course, there were sick people in the synagogues called Pharisees and Sadducees. He could only reach very little of that, right? He only goes so far. We have Nicodemus. But you get what I'm saying? So your faith has to supersede that of this here that he's talking about being a respecter of persons. It's going to make more sense in a minute. Verse 10, this is all extra, by the way. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. We know that. That's the way the law works. But the law is also a tutor. Is that right? Yes, it is. Next verse. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Pretty good. If thou commit no adultery, but yet if you kill, thou become a transgressor of the law. Sounds right to me. Going down, because I want to get to where I want to be tonight. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Watch what it says. So speak ye, and so do. Let your yeas be yeas, your nays nay. Do what you say. Say what you do. Because you know what? You're going to be judged by that law. Everything to do with faith. Again, impression and expression of faith is what we're talking about here. Okay? Next verse. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. For he shall have judgment without mercy. So if you don't fulfill the law, in other words, the being a respecter of persons, not the law as far as Ten Commandments and the law, but the royal law or the rule, if you will, of not being a respecter of people and judging people and promoting people because of their ethnicity or their color or their creed or their address or their bank account. Come on. Or their clothing or anything like that. Or I'm going to help these people over here because you know why I'm going to help these people over here? I'm going to help these people over here on the hill because I know if I just get one of them, if I help one of them, they're going to help me. Is anybody with me? Over here on this hill is where all the doctors live. On this zip code and address, this is where all the country club people live. But over here by the railroad tracks, this is where someone else lives. So I'm not going to invest in them because all I know I'm going to get from them is probably some food stamps. I'm going to get some chicken. I'm going to get something, you know, something old, something borrowed. Is that right? Or what have you, whatever their thinking is that they're going to get out, it's not worth it to me. But if I go over here and I get me a lawyer or a doctor, now I'm not talking color. It could be white guy, black guy, green guy, polka dot guy. I'm going after, I'm respecting the two different classes of life. I'm going after what can bless me. Does that make sense? That's wrong. And then what happens if you don't have no mercy, watch, it's going to come back to you. Judgment with no mercy. So he says mercy rejoices against judgment. In other words, mercy is better than judgment. Mercy will get you out of judgment. This is all stemming from verse 1 about faith. I love this. This is why I say we're going to boot camp, because this is the part, I'm, in my opinion, not because I'm teaching this, but this is the part of faith I believe that gets taken out of the whole faith teaching equation, because it requires a tremendous responsibility out of me and you. This is to the heart. This is nothing to do with, I claim it in Jesus' name, I'm going to have it. Yeah, you know, whatever. This is, Lord, I need to have your faith. I need to treat people the right way. I need to have an expression of faith and an impression of faith and an impact of faith on people the way Jesus did. This is good. I might get the CD. Next verse. What doth it profit? So we're going into number 39 here. What does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he has faith and hath not works, can faith save him? Look what he's saying here. Now, again, this is number 39. We stopped right around here, but I'm going to go deeper into it. What doth it profit, my brother, though a man say he has faith? I got faith. He says he's got faith and hath not works. I got faith in my mouth. I got faith in my heart. I got faith in my mind. I speak faith. I have a faith bumper sticker. I've got faith. But he says, though a man says he has faith and have not works, can that faith save him? In other words, can the faith of his mouth not save as far as salvation? It's not, I'm talking about salvation. He's going to talk to you in context of what that faith can do, the saving faith he's going to talk about. In other words, if you don't have works with your faith can't help anybody. In fact, your faith can't save you. Out of what? Not hell. Out of your troubles. He's not talking about redemption here. Though you do need faith to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and it does take works in the sense that I acknowledge who he is, I take the effort to believe and the effort to take a step forward in my salvation and my relationship with him. Definitely it's not by works. We know that. It's by faith you're saved. But there is that little bit of element of, I have to move forward, don't I? I have to say something. I have to confess. There's a little work there. But that's not what this is speaking of, okay? So watch. Let's unpack it some more. So what's he do? Next verse. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of what? Daily food. Now we're going into the context of what he's talking about. Okay? I want you to write these few things down here. This is the beginning of part 39. And I want to give this to you before I go too far ahead of myself. Without working faith, there's no true value in your faith. Without working faith, there is no true value in your faith. Try it again. Without working faith, there's no true value in your faith. Here's another one. Faith is more than speaking God's word. Faith is more than speaking God's word. It is actively obeying God's word. Faith is more than speaking God's word. It is actively obeying God's word. And then I want you to write this down. It's going to be very strange to you, but we're going to unpack this to demon faith. We're going to talk about demon faith. How's that? Do what? Your pastor taught on what? We're going to talk about demon faith. Is that all right? Or the faith of demons? So let's do that. So here we are. We're back there in context. I hope this didn't mess up your train of thought. In context, what did he say? Go back to verse 14 real quick. Just a brief flash. Can faith save him? Bam. Next verse. He goes into context of what he's talking about. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, in other words, they're broke, busted, disgusted, and naked too. Next verse. And if any one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be you warmed and filled. Notice this. He used words of faith. Yeah, be warm, be filled. That's what faith would say, right? You know, someone comes up to you and say, you're going to pray for them. What do you do? First thing you do is you prophesy and you pray the answer. I don't have money for my electric bill. Father, in Jesus' name, pray they get their electric bill paid. Poop, got to go. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody you pray for in every situation, you have the answer to and you have to give to it. But here's the point. If I have faith and I see somebody in need, watch this. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? I don't have a percentage. I was going to say 99% of the Christians in church, but I really don't know the percentage. I'll just say a high percentage of people in the church are like this. They talk faith. They carry their Bible around, the faith Bible, and they, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith. No, you have saving faith to get you to heaven because you believe in Christ, but you don't have the working faith that got you saved. You don't work your faith. You don't express it. You don't impress it. And you don't impact anybody with it. You just talk about it. Now, you're really being mean, Pastor. No, this is boot camp. This is the truth. If I want ever-increasing faith and I want God to increase faith in my life, guess what? I got to work some more. Well, this is not going good at all. I got to work more, not at my salvation. Don't even put that in your mind. That's not even there. That's not nothing to do with that. I work because I'm saved. I don't work to get saved. I work because I'm saved. I just got hired. When the new person gets born again, they just got hired. We should have a big party, shake their hand and say, welcome to the company, son. Welcome. You know, give them a fake chewing gum cigar or something. Welcome to the, you know, and here's your benefit package and go to work. But we just speak faith. That's not enough. It's not enough. So watch this. So what does it profit? What did you just do? Did you express your faith by telling them to go get something to eat and be warm, check you out later? Next verse. No, you sure didn't. I didn't. Even so, faith, comma, if it hath not works, comma, is dead, comma, being alone. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. In other words, it's all by itself. It's just faith. I believe God can supply all the needs of this person, but I'm not helping him. Again, I can't help everybody, but I can have compassion to listen to God and help where he tells me to. Or if it's obvious the person just fell on their face, you're just going to say, hope you get up and you're okay. If you need anything, I'm in here in the air conditioner. No, what do? You respond and pick them up, even if it is an in-law. You know, you might want to, I don't know how they got there first. But, you know, you do something. Why? Because you have compassion. What is compassion? Compassion is the compression of faith. It's the movement of faith. You ought to write that down. Because when I have compassion, man, it just, like a motor, it makes my faith run. And vice versa, my faith with actions, it makes it run. It's like, go do something. I don't know about you, when I see these things that happen on the earth, and I know this church does, and those that are watching, the global church, when we see things happen like that in Turkey and all that, and what's going on in Ukraine, multiplied thousands and thousands of people are dying weekly over there. I saw some report, it was like 150,000 have already died in this war. One year old war. It's going on two. And my heart just says, what can I do? God, what can we do? What is that? That's faith, man. That's compression. That's just compassion moving. So even so, if you have not works, it's dead. So you have what? Dead faith. You have absolutely dead faith. Here's what I wrote in my notes. It's like a body without breath. I don't know if you know this. If you don't have breath, you're not alive. Miss Sarah, what is it? You're dead, right? Yeah, it's kind of weird, but you got to breathe. So again, that means that we have so many people in the church that are just dead. Because they're not breathing faith. They don't have a life. They're not working their faith. And so just like that analogy of a dead corpse, that's what many people are in life. You're going to heaven. It's not that you're not going to heaven. It's just you're not taking very many rewards with you. Come on. And I'm going to go a little further here and as I unpack this thing. There could be jeopardy for some people who sit in the church and don't do anything. I'm going to show you that. You got to be very careful. On one side, God's not calling you to be a workaholic. On the other side, he's not calling you to be a bum. He wants you to find the even middle road. Work hard while it's day. Get your rest that you need. Have recreation. That's called recreation. Recreate. Be renewed. You have to do that. Even pastors, you have to take a moment of time, even though you don't want to. But again, that's most Christians today. They are one by name only. They're a Christian by name only. And God wants to fix that. Okay? He's going to fix it. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because crisis, chaos, tribulation, trouble, turmoil, testing, trials, all of those things are going to come upon the whole world. And guess who's here if the Lord tarries or if you're still here and I'm still here? That's us. So we're going to need that faith that works. And we're going to have to work our faith. The days of being lazy Christians is coming to a very, very screeching halt. And it's going to be very abrupt. You ever rode with somebody, hit the brakes real fast and your teeth went into the dashboard? Why didn't you warn me? You know? It happened, right? Life happened real quick. Watch this. Next verse. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Okay. Show me thy faith without thy works. You can't. How do you show me? I got faith. Hey, I got faith over here. Did I just do anything? I look pretty stupid. Right? But if I am moving while I'm saying I've got faith and I'm bringing food to the homeless, or I'm doing, you know, I'm moving in my faith, I've got faith. You got words. That's why we do what we do here. I can only speak for this church. And there's other ministries, tons of people doing great things around the world. Why? They're activating their faith and they're working it. No matter the weather, no matter anything. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. That's why I have like zero tolerance for hot air Christians. Just blah, 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 blah. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be this. I could have been a contender. I'm going to do this. I was going to do this 20, 30 years ago, blah, blah, blah. It's hot air. You're like a balloon. And I'm like, I can't hang with you. Why? I'm a doer. Aren't you the same? I mean, I cannot, even in my natural working, I cannot sit there and watch somebody work. It's almost impossible for me to do it. I got to either pick a stick up. I got to grab a shovel. I got to look like I'm, you know, like a chicken scratching the ground. I got to do something. I remember one time we were being professionally moved from South Carolina over to North Carolina to pastor a church. I've never been professionally moved ever, Flo. Me, U-Haul, and Budget, and my wife. That's all I know. And I'm going to tell you, I started packing boxes and started carrying them. They had to literally tell me to sit down. Mr. Faircloth, would you please sit down? We're getting paid to do this. I was like, but I got to work. I got to do something. Here's a broom. Go clean up something. You're bothering us. How many of y'all know? You're the same. So faith without works is dead. Remember, it cannot be alone. It cannot be alone. It has to work together. Okay? Remember this. It's neither one, faith nor works, is complete without the other. So you can't say you have faith if you don't operate in works. Again, nothing to do with your salvation. It has everything to do with working out what you believe. I wrote this down on my notes. You might want to write it down. It's like a fire burning without fuel and fuel burning without a fire. That makes absolutely no possible sense whatsoever. Does it? Fire doesn't just show up fire. It's got to have something to burn. Is that right? It's got to consume something. And something just doesn't burn without having it lit up. Again, it's the same thing with faith and works. You got to have the two together. One say that it's possible, but it's not. You must have them together. Some say, well, I can have faith in the works. No, you have to have it together. It's contrary to the creative makeup and the laws that govern fire and fuel, right? You got to have them both. Okay? Here's what you see in verse 18. Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. The works there in the Greek, it means employment, business. Again, I could sit there all day long and say I'm a lawyer. But if I don't have a degree in a law firm, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a liar. Is that right? And if I said I was a brain surgeon, don't come to, you know, you come to my office and you don't see no records whatsoever. No, I didn't graduate from anywhere. I think I'd question that person, wouldn't you? Well, how many surgeries have you done? You're the first. No, I'm the last. 911, what's your emergency? Right? So it means my business, or it also means employment. This is my employment. I have faith, and I am putting my faith to business. I'm putting my faith to work. I'm putting my faith to operation. Shop's open. I'm at work. I'm employed because I am taking my faith and I'm using it. I'm utilizing it for the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, if we could get the church, and there was a time, and I'm not a beater upper on the church, because there was a time when the church used to work. Some of you that are little older than me, you know it's true. I know it through history and studying and what little time I remember as a young boy. But I remember growing up in Southern Baptist Church, they worked. You had Sunday school, part one, Sunday school, part two, and then took a break and had part three, and then you went to church. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? They always had educational buildings. How many of y'all remember what I'm talking about? I mean, you go by these old churches today, all scattered throughout this region, and you see these churches, brick churches full of school classrooms. I don't know if they use them anymore. They're probably storage. And I'm telling you, if you study history, church history, the Southern Baptists, it's proven in statistics, were the most working Protestant denomination in American history, outside of cults. You know, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, or whatever. But they were. It's the truth. The Southern Baptists, they always went out and they evangelized. You don't see that hardly anymore. What's door to door? We don't do that no more. We have app to app. Not saying that's not effective, but we've lost the work mentality that we used to have in the church. Well, you know what? They want to come, come. I mean, just their doors open, signs out front, whatever. You know? There's more to it. You have to show it. You have to employ it. You have to go to work. It's a business. All right. So watch this. Next verse. Thou believest there is one God. So James is talking to him. He says, you believe there's one God. That's part of Judaism. You believe that. You did good. That's the second time he said you did well, right? Yes, it is. So you did good. The devils also believe and tremble. Ready? We're going to talk about demon faith. Now, I'm going to unpack this several ways because there's several views of this and how to understand this. But the first view is this. You believe in one God or you believe in God. That's good. But the devils believe too. Now, the devils can't change. The devils can't be redeemed. They can't do any good works. Has the devil done any good thing for you? No. Can he? No. Will he? No. So he's equating a person who believes in God that doesn't do anything with it to demon faith. That's what that means. That's heavy duty. That means there's people in the house of God that act like a demon. I wish this was Sunday morning. I'd rip this thing up. Set the pulpit on fire. Demon faith. Well, that's wrong. Pastor, you're hurting my heart. No, the demons, watch this. In fact, the demons do a little more than you do. They have faith in God because they believe and they actually tremble. Folks believe in God and don't do nothing. They don't tremble. They have no fear of God. They have no fear. They have no working of their faith. That's demon faith. Ever heard that preached before? Nope. I never heard it. So I studied. The Lord spoke to my heart. So that's what they, most people have, the demon faith in the house of God. No greater faith than a devil. That'd be an insult to all of us. And it ought to be something that, it ought to be like a pit bull right behind us, just snapping right at our rear ends as we do our walk through life and say, man, I need to get to work for God. I don't want that thing snipping at me and biting me. You're not going to find me at all. Will I find faith when I return? He asked that question, didn't he? Not faith in salvation. Faith is in works. Am I going to find my church doing occupying till I come? Yes, Lord, you will right here. I'll do the best I possibly can to stay busy for you. Not working in circles for nonsense or working to be seen by people. Just working out of compassion. Lord, I have faith in you. What do you want me to do? Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to follow me. Like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I don't think Paul was lazy. Study his life. Someday if we have the opportunity, we'll study his life together. What an amazing journey. What an amazing man of God. So it's demon faith. They believe it. At least they tremble. Listen, they're not justified by works because their works are evil. They're not justified by their works in faith, but they're acting on their belief. Listen to what the Lord spoke to me. I wrote this down. They believe, but don't help you in any way. They don't have mercy. And if we don't either, what's the difference? There's no difference. You get mad, say, being critical. Read it for yourself. It's right in front of you. There is no difference. If I believe in God and don't do anything with my works, again, we're in context, right, of faith and works. This isn't something out of context. He didn't throw it in there because he ran out of something to say. So I'm doing good because I believe. But he said, hey, man, the devils believe too, but they tremble. They have faith in God in the sense of not justification, the acknowledgement of God. They know he's there. So if I know God's there and I know he's here and I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior and I don't act on the faith that's inside of me and work that faith out, I'm no different than a demon. That ought to be preached across America. I don't care who does it. Just wake the church up and say, man, get out of your slumber. What happened to the church? They used to work. You call a work day, they'd work at the church. You call an outreach, they would all show up. Now you got to give them stuff. We're going to have pizza on the ground. Everybody show up. Come on, somebody. Like cattle, they'll come knocking the gate down. We're here, Pastor. What time's lunch? Come on, I'm messing with you. But you know it's true, right? So let's go on. I'm going to try to finish this tonight, maybe. Watch this. I have to. But wilt thou know, O vain man, it means you're foolish, you dumb, that faith without works is dead? So he's trying to say, look, I'm using something harsh in verse 19 to try to get you to wake up. You're being foolish. What more? How lower can I go? How lower could a preacher go and say, you're acting like a bunch of devils? Right? Your arch enemy. We don't have no other enemy besides, you know, politicians. We don't have any other enemies to Christianity and to the cross than the devil. That is the lowest James could go by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. That ought to bother us. Next verse. I should call a work day. Watch this. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Now, let's look at this real quick. Talking about justification. Is that all right? I got 10 minutes, don't I? Okay. Justification by works. Now, let's not misunderstand. This is not justification that Paul talks of. Paul talks of justification that comes through the shed blood of Christ through the cross of Calvary. I am justified as though I'd never sinned. Yes. Yes, you are, because you're redeemed. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, you make mistakes through your life and you go back to your advocate, who is your what? Intercessor, your high priest, and you're daily cleansed. Is that right? Justification, and I become righteous. Or the righteousness of God, which means I am right standing with God. James is now taking it from saving faith to operational faith that brings justification in the aspect that what I am doing through my faith is expressing justification and righteousness. I'm expressing it now. This is what I said. We're going to express faith. We're going to impart faith. And we're going to impact faith. We're going to reveal faith. How? Through our works. That makes sense. Jesus did the initial work for my justification, my sanctification, my righteousness through what he did on the cross. But now through faith, I express that righteousness and justification and sanctification through my works. That is some good stuff right there. And that's exactly what we must get into our spirits and into our hearts and into our mind and really into the lifestyle of every believer. Because I'm not working to be saved. He did it. I'm now working because I'm saved. And I got no choice. Really, if I'm full of compassion and love, I've got no choice, man. I want to see the world saved. I want to see people delivered. Children taken out of prostitution and all the stuff going on in our world. I want to see life changed. So do you, don't you? So it's not talking about that. Now remember, Abraham was justified a decade earlier. You have to go to Genesis, I believe it's chapter 15, and go forward. He was justified before he was going to sacrifice Isaac. Go look it up. He was already justified. To God, he said, God said to him, to you has been imputed faith. He imputed righteousness because of what you have already committed in your heart to leave your father and go find the promised land. He imputed unto him righteousness. Genesis chapter 15, didn't he? Yes. It wasn't later on, like a decade later, then he went to offer Isaac. So his justification was in the beginning, but then it was expressed by what he was going to do by faith. Oh man, I'm telling you, this is good stuff. When he, well, let's look at it. Was not Abraham my father justified by works? Yes, he was. When he offered Isaac upon his son upon the altar. So again, James is leaving off where Paul started. Again, he can't be talking about salvation and justification through the blood, or Paul and James would be in conflict. And now you have a discrepancy in the word. And you don't. Because one had an assignment to speak about the blood and the justification thereof. And now James is taking it to another level of the daily operation of my faith. Good stuff. Next verse. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made not perfect as in no defects, but made complete. It was complete, right? See that with me, please. How faith wrought with his works, and by works was his faith made complete. So my faith is not complete until I start doing something with it. This is what I'm saying. When people get saved, we ought to take them from salvation straight into discipleship. And then walk with them. Take them to the homeless shelters. Take them on a mission trip. They need to be trained. They're going to be trained on the job. You don't wait till they're 10 years and they become petrified like you. Come on, church. You take them and you start developing them and say, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. We got to work, we got to work. A lot of your pastors, they need to go to Bible college. They need to go to... Maybe that's a call for them. Okay, they go to Bible college, sure. But that doesn't mean they can't do nothing for God. When I first got saved, the first place I went was to the homeless. I've told the story before. Got saved, man, put a bandana on my hand, on my head, got me a old military jacket on and a duffel bag full of Bibles and books, and I went straight to the homeless. Pastor didn't need to tell me to do that. I was working my faith. Y'all do the same thing, right? You done stuff? Watch this. Next verse. The question is, why do we stop? Because we're older? That's wrong. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for what? Righteousness. That's back in Genesis 15. And he was called what? The friend of God. I'm going to run around. The word friend there has so many, it's such a beautiful word there. It means beloved, but it also means to be fond of. Let me give me a couple more definitions just to amplify this. Okay? It means that he was fond of him and that he called him a neighbor. It also means neighbor. What? Isn't that a trip for a second there? Who's your neighbor? God. Well, is that right? It also means companion. An associate. Go to John 15:14 real quick, Joshua. Y'all can give me 5 minutes, please, and I'll finish this up tonight. Please. John 15:14. Look at this real quick. Well, that was Abraham, and he had... You are my what? Friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Who said that? Jesus. I'm his friend. Every time I do what I'm supposed to do, I'm his friend. Come on, guys. Every time we do something for the kingdom, we pass out a tract, we help mama's house, or we do anything that deals with our faith and our works and expressing the justification and the righteousness of God in us, we are considered a friend of God. Do you think that Christians sit around that do nothing are considered a friend of God? I don't. I didn't say he didn't love them. I didn't say they're worthless. I'm just basically saying, how are you a friend of mine? You ain't never done nothing for me, Flo. How am I a friend to you if I've never done anything for you? If I've never helped you, if I never lift a finger and I just, you know, whatever, overlooked you. I'm not a friend. But if I do what I'm supposed to do, then I got a neighbor. I got a companion. I got an associate. I got somebody who's fond of me. And see, people say, well, it's favor. No, favor's not fair. You're right. But if I do what I'm supposed to do, God's going to favor me. Don't get mad at me. And I'll try not to get mad at you. You know what it ought to do? It ought to provoke me and you both to jealousy to do better than what we're doing. That's what favor does. And God's not trying to pit us against each other. What he's trying to do is say, look, I want to do in you what I'm doing with them. Quit being bitter about it and get better. All right, watch this. I hope that helped you some. Next verse. Okay. No. I'm sorry. Back over in James. That's still good right there. Check that out later. Sorry about that. Okay, you see then how that faith by how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Go back to 23 one more time, please. I felt like I was rushed. Abraham believed God, and he was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Okay, I'm good with that. All right, next verse. All right, so man is justified and not by faith only. So where's my justification come? With faith and works. Next verse. And here's where we're going to close it in just two more verses. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? Whoa. She was a prostitute, lady on the street, from pillar to post, a sidewalk host. You don't remember that old song? Lady got a condo out on the coast. Anyways, 80s, Miami Vice, sorry. Was not Rahab not justified? She was justified what? By her works, when she had received the messengers that sent them out another way. So even a prostitute was justified because she did what? She had faith in the messengers who said to her, I'll save you and your family. God will save you and your family if you just do us this favor. She believed it. It was imputed unto her for righteousness, justified because she did what she heard. Faith without works is dead. If she wouldn't obeyed, she would have been dead. But she ended up being part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You know that. We've taught about that. So she had a tremendous legacy by doing what? Obeying. Oh, man. You know, God will use anybody. I said God will use anybody. Matthew 12:50, just write that down because I don't have time. That's talking about, obeying him and being a friend of God. But Matthew 12:50, and then finally, and by the way, Rahab was made innocent by her believing, action. And then here we go, verse 26, and I got a couple statements and I'm out of your way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Isn't that what a capstone right there? Read it again. For as the body without spirit or the body without breath is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So how many dead Christians do we have in the church? How many times are we acting like demons in our faith? We don't need to do that. God doesn't want us to do that. Okay? I want you to write this down. My final statement. I act because I believe. I act because I believe. I believe, therefore I'm compelled to act. I act because I believe. I believe, therefore I'm compelled to act. I've got to do something. I can't sit by idly. and watch my world go to hell in a handbasket, get up here and preach and holler and scream about everything and boo-hoo if I don't make some effort to rectify something in life and to apply my faith with operational employment. Amen? And we're not going to do that. We're not going to allow that to happen in our lives, not here at this place. In Jesus' name, not in your life, those that are watching. Use your faith. Let God use you. He will equip you and anoint you to do so. Father, thank you. Help us all to do this. Many times we just can't see what's going on around us. We get busy with life, or we think someone else is pulling the load. No, let us work like we're the only ones working. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. See you Sunday. Be blessed.